The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everybody, this is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Jason Goff. I am joined by my pre- and post-game partner, Kendall Gill. And of course, the Bulls outsiders are with us, two-thirds of them, that is, Matt Peck and of course, Big Dave. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss, what else? The all-decade team for the Bulls, because the decade's almost over here in a couple of weeks. KC Johnson put together a terrific piece on NBCSportsChicago.com. So we'll be discussing the five slots, and also we'll throw in a little extra bonus for you. We'll get to the all-decade coach. I think you know who that is, so enjoy.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Coming up on the show, we are going to discuss the Bulls All-Decade Team. Now, the piece dropped on NBCSportsChicago.com. Our guy, KC Johnson, all over it. And, fellas, we get to this point of the year and this point of the decade where we're wrapping it up and we look at a whole bunch of lists. Well, we have a Bulls All-Decade Team to pour over here. Now, of course, at the point guard position. By the way, this the 2000s to the 2010s, that was a tough decade, especially in the beginning. So I'm glad we get to converse about the 2010 period to 2019.
Eddie Curry would like a word with you, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Corey Benjamin and Keith Booth and Randy Brown and all those
Marcus
boys.
Marcus Fizer.
Yeah, Marcus Fizer. Mm-hmm.
Eddie, Ron Mercer.
Larry Krystowiak, all the guys who held it down after the Jordan Bulls. But we are talking about the 2010s to 2019 decade. It's obvious, the point guard, you know, and I know Kendall and Peck might disagree.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know. I don't know if it's 100% obvious.
Even Matt Peck cannot disagree on this.
Can we all agree, fellas, that the all-decade first-team point guard for the Bulls this decade would be Derrick Rose?
Without
right?
question.
Without Anyone question. Who tries to debate that is out of their freaking mind.
Yes, correct.
Including you, Cap. I'm just joking. We love you, Cap. We love you. Jimmy Butler at the shooting guard position. You talk about a guy who, you know, at the beginning of the decade, was a guy who got sparing minutes, a defensive player, then won most improved player, then bet on himself, you know, turned down the extension, got himself a max contract. But we saw the beginnings of Jimmy Butler here in Chicago, and then he moved on, obviously, to Minnesota in the trade, to Philadelphia, and now with Miami. But Jimmy Butler is a lock, I think, at that two position.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The all-decade team. What made Jimmy Butler special in his time as a Chicago Bull to you?
Well, his ability to make himself better, because when he first came here as a late first-round draft, well, was he drafted in the
late first round.
30th, the last pick of the first round.
Yeah, so that's why I was thinking he was in the second round. But as a late first-round draft pick, he came here as a defensive player and made himself. But, you know, he has to give a lot of that credit to Thibodeau, because Thibodeau played him more minutes than any other coach in the NBA would have played him as a young player. And that's, in my opinion, what made him to develop as fast as he did.
But what also adhered him to the city was the work ethic.
Yeah.
It was that – it wasn't the fact Tibbs was playing, even though that's a huge point that Tibbs was putting him out there. But the fact that he was able to put him out there and he would always succeed and, you know, get better every single year. He put something new in his game every single year and grew into a guy you actually could build your team around.
And he came around when, even though people were sticking with Rose and rooting for him in his recovery through his multiple injuries, the city still wanted the team to be relevant, and they needed a star to make that happen and to make that keep happening. And while Derrick Rose was struggling to stay on the court, Jimmy Butler's ascension to stardom was perfectly timed for a fan base that was missing its star and really needed one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 399 games in over six seasons as a Chicago Bull. I remember that night at Madison Square Garden where he had to face up against Carmelo Anthony for some minutes, and you know, that was the beginning of the Jimmy Butler tenure, I think. He had arrived in Tom Thibodeau's eyes and in some people in the NBA's eyes, and then, of course, he took over. It went from Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah being the face of this franchise in a matter of a couple of seasons to Jimmy Butler being that guy, because Jimmy Butler was going to force himself into that role. So admirable, to say the least, for anybody who's built their way up. And you know his story from Tomball, Texas, and mm-hmm. his situation as a youth. The instability in his life as a young dude. So Jimmy Butler, I think, is a good selection at the two guard yeah. position for the All Decade team. Luol Deng at the small forward position. Now, of course, when Luol had to get up out of here, it was because Derek got hurt. The team didn't want to be in the luxury tax anymore. You talk about a guy who has a lot to a lot of credit to give to Tom Thibodeau. Luol speaks in glowing terms of his time here with Tom Thibodeau. Luol Deng is an all-time Bull in my estimation, but it's a pretty easy pick for the small forward position, mm-hmm. as Luol Deng is the all-decade for 2010 through the 2019 Casey Johnson and NBCSportsChicago.com selection. Any gripes with Luol?
Well, now that you've named three guys under Tom Thibodeau.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of them.
It's a good decade.
Yeah. It's a good decade. And a lot
Jimmy
of them.
Jimmy and Fred were BFFs. What are you talking about? Right.
And a lot of this has to be attributed to the amount of time he let them play.
Yes.
And let them develop. And I
a lot
always,
of people were griping about it at the time. I was like, these dudes are 24, man.
I wish I had a coach that played me 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know, because it makes your numbers go up, makes your value go up. And
yeah, all those dudes got paid.
Yeah, all of them got paid and played Derek a little bit too much in that game against the 76ers in the playoffs. Now, that's the one time Derek should have been out of the game because the game was over. But all those guys, I'm sure you're going to name one more that played under him.
Two more.
Okay, two more that played mm-hmm. under him, and that's the reason, because they were able to get that experience on the floor.
For the decade, Big Dave and Matt, Deng posted seasonal averages of 17.4 points per game, 15.3 points per game, 16.5, and 19 before the Bulls traded him to the Cavs in January of 2014. Always steady, always a good defender, always a guy that, you know, this is the thing too, we see a lot of teams rely on players that just aren't the main dude and a lot goes on their shoulders. I was really happy that Luol was never forced. I mean, during the Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Luol era, it was a triumvirate, so it wasn't like, all right, this is all on one guy. I was really happy that his career got to blossom here in Chicago and everything was never really put all on his shoulders, and because of that, I think that's why he flourished.
Right, but you saw him get recognized with an all-star selection.
For sure.
And I think that, you know, Tibbs always referred to Luol as the glue guy on those teams. And on both ends of the floor, if the Bulls needed a bucket and, you know, Derek was being double-teamed or Derek was out that night or what have you, Luol was the guy that they could go to create his own shot, to get a bucket. And he was always there making big plays on the defensive end, too.
Yeah, he was always guarding the other team's best player.
Yep.
Always. It was always Luol Deng. And when he first got here, you remember, like, I remember him jacking up threes all the time. And we were like, yeah, I don't think he's that. And then Tibbs was like, no, he's not. Let me go ahead and put him in that right position to succeed. And another thing he also did great was he was with that second unit. He was always that guy with that second unit when they were in. Mm-hmm. So he was bringing stability to the first and the second unit, man. So, yeah, he extremely talented.
I mean, coming out of Duke, I think people don't remember what Luol Deng was and how highly regarded a prospect he was. There were some scouting services his junior year in high school that had him ahead of LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
They had Luol at one and LeBron at number two, and obviously, you know, that summer blew up. And I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
I wouldn't know that,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know who did up LeBron really well?
Yeah. Luol Deng. Hey, and Luol and LeBron have their battles.
They had their battles. Yes.
In
yes,
Cleveland, and
true.
The boogeyman in Cleveland always was eliminating the Bulls.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't because Luol was backing down. Speaking of a guy who didn't back down very much, if at all, another late first-round pick. You know, we talk a lot about the talent evaluation and the front office moves of this franchise, but you know, they hit some gems in the late first round a couple of times, and this is the starting power forward in the Bulls All-Decade team, Taj Gibson. was selected. And you may say Pau Gasol, you may have another name in there, but Taj Gibson selected. And it says, when John Paxson traded Taj Gibson to the Thunder in February 2017, the executive vice president immediately made himself available to reporters because he had something he wanted to share. He said, Taj has been just one of the best people that we have ever had in this organization, Paxson said that day. He's classy, professional, and competitive, and I can't think of three better words to describe a hardworking, you know, older rookie coming out of USC, found his niche, found his role, and was able to knock down that 15, 16-foot jump shot after a while. He was deadly from that high post range. So Taj Gibson, the selection at the power forward position, Ken.
I agree with that because he was here much longer than Powell. And who can forget the emphatic dunk that he had against Dwayne Wade in the playoffs?
Talk about all decade? That's one of the top five.
Seriously.
And, you know, I think he embodies – Chicago more so than any of the players except for Derek, because Derek is from here. But you know, hard hat, lunch pail, as Stacey King always described him, and you know, just was quiet, went about his work, and did what he was supposed to do. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with him on the list as power forward.
Yeah, longevity through the decade. I mean, not many people can say that they did as much for the organization as Taj did. And the other thing I really respected about him is, even for being as old as he was as a rookie, he was still really raw offensively, but he developed a pretty respectable offensive game over the course of his career. He found a nice little 15-foot jump shot from the elbows. He used the glass really well, developed a decent post game, and then he was always the one making those hustle plays. Obviously, I mean, that epic dunk over Wade game, one of the conference finals, which is the height of this organization since the Jordan dynasty ended. Blowing the Heat off the floor game one of that, that's – it's been downhill since then. That Taj dunk over Wade, it's been downhill since then.
Wow.
And it was such an iconic moment for him and for the organization. And the other thing that I like is my favorite thing about Taj is that after he and Dougie McBuckets got traded away when things were starting to fall apart, he, without needing to, it was not mandatory, chose to come back and make himself available to Chicago media for sort of like a round of exit interviews before leaving town. And that's, from everything I heard, the kind of guy that Taj was. Always available with the media, always straight up and honest with the media. And I think that that's why the fan base saw how genuine of a guy he was.
Yeah, that's the word right there. He's genuine. I never heard any bad thing about Taj Gibson. Not one from any side, from the media side, from a fan side, even from players. You know, nobody had anything bad to say about Taj, man. He was awesome coming off that bench. And you hit it on the head, Matt, that dunk is so iconic that even when Wade had his birthday party, that was the cake. The cake was him getting dunked on by Taj Gibson. It was that important. It meant that much to this city and to Chicago. Personally, I don't have Taj at the starting point power forward. I get why he's there. Trust me, I totally understand. He's more beloved.
Who you going?
No, I probably have some moves if I pick up some moves at this. But no, I'm Paul Gasol. I'm definitely Paul Gasol at that position. I mean, he honestly had one of the best seasons of his career when he was here, man. The man was all NBA.
He put up like 50 double-doubles that
season. Come on,
man.
He was all NBA when he was here, man. He was an all-star when he was here. He was awesome. I love Paul Gasol. His first ever triple-double was here when he was here in Chicago. So, no, I love Paul Gasol's game, what he brought. It took less money to even, you know, come here and do what he did. But I totally get tired.
One of the first free agents to ever choose Chicago.
Correct. Was talked into by
that works,
Joe Kim Noah. That worked. Yes, correct.
Ben Wallace was one that didn't work out.
Yeah, it did not.
Too much. That's what I liked about Taj, too, is that, and I joked about C. Booze, but, you know, Carlos Boozer was the starting power forward on a team that finished top five defensively year after year after year. You know why? Because Tom Thibodeau closed those games out with Taj Gibson at his power forward
spot.
That
is true. Mm-hmm.
And for a young dude coming into a situation where, you know, you might feel that you're the better player, and obviously the coach has more confidence in you to close out games, Taj never chirped. He never talked. He never thought he should be starting. You know, it never really got – you know, coaches always say be a star in your role. I look at Taj Gibson, and he's a star in his role personified. That's why Tom Thibodeau wanted him to be there with him in Minnesota. That's why a team like the Knicks loved having him there just to hang around and be around their young players. So Taj Gibson is definitely one of those dudes that the city showed a lot of love for and respect for, and he earned every piece of it. Speaking of a lot of love and a lot of respect – the emotional centerpiece for this team during the decade that was 2010 through 2019 before things took a turn. Joakim Noah, he's the center on this team. And Joakim Noah, I'll never forget draft night when I said this is a bad pick because I didn't know what Joakim Noah could do on the professional level.
And you saw the outfit.
Yeah, that was the other reason. I was fly, man. Cool no, with the Sarasota suit.
No, I was feeling that, man. I was cool with that
I just didn't know what he could do on the professional level. I knew he was an energy guy, but how much could you bank on an energy guy changing things for you? And, man, was I wrong. The dude won a defensive player of the year. He was one of the better passers at the center position. He's a Bulls icon, low-key.
He had a top-five MVP year.
Yeah, he's a dude that was the, that Boston series, the coast-to-coast, dunk and the overtime games. I mean, Joakim Noah is one of those dudes who's going to go down. Like, the Derrick Rose era is what we talk about, but Joakim Noah is one of those guys who's going to go down. He's not only a fan favorite, but he made himself a part of this city, and it wasn't lip service. It felt like it was genuine. So I don't have any qualms with Joakim Noah being the center at position.
I don't have any qualms at all. Love Joakim, and I was skeptical about Joakim when he first came in.
Me
his
too.
Rookie year, he was kind of, that,
remember when he got suspended by Ben Wallace and the rest of the players?
Cussing out Ron Adams. But hey, listen, you got to respect him because he's his own man. And, what he brought each and every night, and who can forget? I don't know anybody who wants to go to Cleveland.
Vacation
in Cleveland.
Take a shot at the whole city.
You think Cleveland's cool?
Cleveland's cool. I don't want to go.
I want to go vacation in Cleveland.
Or
Hollywood is hell.
Because he was always
He had
real.
That fan feel. Fans could nestle up to him.
He was like a guy that you see in the barbershop, just sit around the chop shop. So that's what I love about him. And also his ability to take a limited skill level.
Yeah, man.
And do what he did.
Got the most out of it.
So that's why he should be. I think he's an all-time Bull.
I'm in with you.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm with you. I think he is. Yeah. As far as big men are concerned, Johnny Red Kerr, you got Tom Boyewinkle,
Gilmore.
Artist Gilmore. Yeah. He's right there.
I was definitely in the minority when he came out because I thought he was going to be awesome.
Did you?
And I told everybody who would listen to me that he was going to be. And trust me, I thought
he was the lesser of the
trust
three players.
Trust me, man.
On the head celebration after one his back to backs with the game.
No, trust me. Everybody gave me guff, man.
Brewer and Al Horford were going to be better players.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Everybody gave me guff when they drafted him. Everyone's like, get out of here, Dave. I'm talking about I heard it for an entire year, man. But when I would watch, I would never forget watching him at Florida, and there were times, and he has an award to prove it, that he was the best player on the floor. Like, on a two-time national championship team at center, he was the best player on the floor, man. And even with that limited skill set, you couldn't match that dude's IQ and you couldn't match that dude's heart.
That's true.
Like, you couldn't match those two things, man. Those two things you can't equate for, really. He had to learn and develop, when he got here because Tibbs did a great job developing guys and putting them in the right position. Him becoming a point center, it was crazy, But it completely worked, man. He had incredible games, but – I wasn't shocked that he became good. I really wasn't. I always thought he was going to be good.
Nice.
I mean, Dave knows my obsession with Joakim. Behind MJ, my
word.
Second favorite Bull of all time.
The word is obsession.
Yeah. Nice.
The word is obsession.
Him,
yes.
I love him.
Yes.
And I mean, Jason,
where's Derrick Rose on your list?
Kendall, how you feel about me, Rose? Kendall? How you feel about Rose is how he feels about Joakim.
I promise you this. He's top 10. My
Bulls
all time.
Oh, my God.
He's top 10. No, but so.
Damn, that's bad.
Jay, you mentioned, maybe the most famous Joakim moment, the strip of Paul and the coast-to-coast dunk in Game 6 against Boston. Man. The other one that I think does not get enough credit as far as what Joe did for this team was that Brooklyn series in 2013.
Yes.
Right? Baby Nate Robinson had that amazing performance in Game 4 with the triple overtime game, gives the Bulls a 3-1 lead in the series. The Bulls then, with all these injuries left and right, cough up that 3-1 lead. It goes Game 7 at Brooklyn, and Joakim, like as if he were like speaking through the words of, he was channeling Michael Jordan, where he was just like, well, we lost this 3-1 series lead. We didn't close that at home, but we're going to go to Brooklyn.
We're going to win.
And we're going to win Game 7.
Yep.
And then he delivered a virtuoso performance on one foot.
Yeah,
he was
man.
Playing with horrible plantar fasciitis towards the back end of that season, and he just promised a victory on the road in a Game 7 playoff game and delivered. It was amazing.
Yeah. Those damn shoes he was wearing.
Yes, man. I kept telling people that, man. It had to be those Red Rooster shoes. Lecoq Sportif? Yeah, it was their first ever gym shoe.
Yeah.
When they gave them to him. They wore tennis shoes, you know? They do for tennis, man, so yeah.
It was a tough look.
But on some Nikes, let's do this.
Yeah, let's go. That's the Bulls All-Decade team. As we wrap it up here, and I'm glad you mentioned his name, Kendall, because seems like his name has kind of been scrubbed from the annals of Bulls history, and he's the name that shall not be mentioned. But Tom Thibodeau, man, when we talk about this team, this organization, this franchise, and the heights that that team especially reached year after year after year when LeBron was at the height of his powers, there was one team that national analysts and people around the NBA was like, hey, there's only one team that's going to challenge them, and it's the Bulls.
Right.
And a lot of it was because of Derrick Rose, obviously. MVP performance, rookie of the year, all-star, all that. You know, you saw the ascension. Of course, the injuries limited him. But even when Derrick Rose got hurt, this team never stopped playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding out now, you know, around the NBA, that is a talent in itself, and, and making people play hard, making people go harder than they maybe know they can. Like, Tom got a lot out of guys, right? I mean, look at that bench crew that they had with Ronnie Brewer, Kyle Korver, you know, all those dudes, C.J. Watson. And
even later generations, like Marco Bellinelli and some of those other role
all
players.
All the little point guards that he brought in and out.
D.J. Augustine.
D.J. Augustine, Mike James for a little bit.
John Lucas the third.
Yeah, like, come on. I mean, you know, after Phil Jackson – you know, how many coaches are we going to before we mention Tom Thibodeau's name in terms of of Chicago Bulls lore?
You know, because he won Coach of the Year, and the very next season, I thought he should have got Coach of the Year again because he has still had the best record in the NBA, and that's the year they had all those injuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he still won.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's – you know,
They brought in Rip Hamilton, and he barely played at all.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
And they still had the one seed.
Yeah. And they won games with Keith Bogans, man.
Right, right.
Yeah,
Bogans.
So,
you know, he's one of those coaches, you know, you guys remember the saying with Bum Phillips used to say.
Take yours.
He could take his and beat Yorn and take Yorn and beat his.
Yeah.
That's what Tom Thibodeau is.
I mean,
he's just that type of coach, man.
Well, you got to go to NBCSportsChicago.com and read the piece put together by Casey Johnson. You'll see the All Bulls Decade team discussed in a different light because Casey is, you know, studious and he's done all the research and he's got all the flowery numbers and we're just blessed to hang out and talk. So we appreciate you listening. We hope you enjoy the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show because we know you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every single Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a good rest of the day.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.